sing together. It's a song of praise to the Maker from More Voices, number 30. Before I start with our readings, I would like to wish Mary Dame a happy birthday today. Our first reading is found in Genesis 1. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was complete chaos, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. On the sixth day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. Our psalm reading is from Psalm 8 this morning. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory upon the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
We have heard God's word for God's people. May we also hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Let us pray. Holy One, breathe your Spirit into us again, that we may have life as people who know we are not alone. The Spirit comes to us with mercy, with healing, with new beginnings. In Christ we are forgiven. In the Spirit we are empowered. In God's love we are made whole. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Through the old.
not quite myself this morning. So, bear with me. I may start to sound a little breathless. There is an old story from the Jewish mystical tradition about the Baal Shem Tov, an 18th century spiritual teacher and healer who helped found Hasidic Judaism in Eastern Europe. The stories about him focus less on academic theology and more on how everyday people stay connected to the sacred during hard times. One story says that whenever great danger threatened the Jewish community, the Baal Shem Tov would go to a certain place in the forest. There he would light a sacred fire, pray a particular prayer, and somehow the danger would pass. Years later, his successor faced another crisis. He no longer remembered how to light the sacred fire, but he still knew the prayer and the place in the forest. So he went there, spoke the prayer, and somehow that was enough. Another generation passed. The next rabbi no longer knew how to light the fire or recite the prayer, but he still remembered the place in the forest. So he went there and said, "I do not know the fire. I do not know the prayer, but I remember the place." And somehow that too was enough. Eventually, another generation came along. This rabbi no longer knew the fire, the prayer, or even the place in the forest. All he could do was sit in his chair and tell the story. And the story itself became enough. Many people I know feel spiritually lost right now. I even hear it from fellow clergy who are unsure how to guide their congregations through so much political hostility and distrust. I hear it from parents trying to raise children in a world shaped by algorithms that they barely understand. I hear it from older adults who once believed that democratic norms, international alliances, scientific institutions, and basic constitutional protections were more stable than they seem now. I hear it from younger people who cannot imagine ever owning a home or having retirement security or trusting that the climate will stay livable. We are holding, often in insulation, a deep grief. Many of us no longer trust the institutions that once helped give life meaning. Congregations, universities, journalism, government, and medicine all feel less reliable. Even the idea of objective truth is now questioned in ways that would have seemed impossible a generation ago. Some people try to bring back the past just as it was. Others leave it behind completely. Many feel stuck in the middle, holding on to pieces of traditions they still care about, but no longer fully trusting the institution that once supported them. This old Hasidic story about the rabbis is, at least for me, an odd comfort because it refuses nostalgia without surrendering wisdom. People forget things. Traditions change. Institutions grow weaker. Language shift. Communities break apart. History keeps moving, and none of this is new. The Jewish people who shared these stories survived exile, persecution, displacement, and political collapse many times over the centuries. They knew how fragile civilizations can be, but they also understood that the sacred sometimes survives inside a memory long after the institutions lose their coherence. I think many people believe spirituality is mostly about certainty or keeping traditions exactly the same. But wisdom traditions tell a more human, complex story. Again and again, people lose their way, let go of old structures, forget parts of rituals, and still find the sacred in surprising ways. The Buddhist tradition teaches that impermanence is at the heart of reality. Everything changes and nothing lasts forever. Holding on too tightly to forms brings suffering because no structure lasts. This idea might sound negative at first, but I think it actually calls us to a deeper kind of spiritual maturity. It asks if we can stay compassionate and aware even as the world shifts around us. Even with all of the disruption and disorientation we live with today, people still gather at hospital beds when someone is dying. They still light candles after tragedies, and they still sing at funerals. They still look for words big enough to hold grief, beauty, fear, love, and wonder. They still long for community, meaning, and a sense of something greater than just buying or achieving things. The form changes. The longing remains. Maybe that is a part of what this story, this Hasidic story, is trying to teach us. The sacred has always been more resilient than the structures carrying it. That does not mean institutions are not important. Rituals, communities, stories, and memories all matter. But maybe the spiritual maturity is about learning to tell the difference between the container and the fire inside it. Some of the vessels are clearly cracking right now. I think we all know that, but I am not convinced that the fire has gone out. Sometimes I wonder if times like these make us rediscover what truly matters beneath all the systems and old certainties. Compassion, presence, courage, reverence, truthfulness, caring for those in need, community, love. Those things survive longer than empires do. The final rabbi, or the last rabbi in the story, could no longer perform the ritual correctly. All he could do was tell the story honestly. Somehow that still opened a path toward the sacred. And I find that strangely comforting right now. Many of us do not know what comes next. Some of the old guides no longer help. Some of the old words do not feel right anymore. Some of the old certainties are gone. But perhaps the work now is not pretending certainty we no longer possess. Maybe our task now is to stay faithful enough to keep sharing the story with each other until the fire shines again. Let us pray. Loving Spirit, many of us feel like people carrying fragments. The old certainties no longer hold the way they once did. The institutions we trusted feel fragile. The future feels difficult to imagine clearly. Still, something sacred continues moving beneath the surface. Help us remain faithful to the deeper fire when the vessels around us begin to crack. Teach us how to live without pretending certainty we no longer possess. Keep us tender in a world growing harder. Keep us truthful in a culture increasingly shaped by performance and fear. And when we no longer know the right prayer, the right ritual, or the right words, remind us that even the honest telling of the story can still open a path toward you. Amen. And now, as we respond in love, we'll sing together the hymn, She Comes Sailing on the Wind, from Voices United, number 380. She Comes Sailing on the Wind.
Thank you.
Let us bring ourselves to God once more in prayer. Let us pray. God of love and mercy, you have given us stewardship to care for this wonderful planet and to care for our neighbors. We have been blessed with a variety of gifts and talents, and you call us to use them to help others. Open our hearts today to ministries of peace with justice. Embolden us to become part of this great cloud of witnesses who are unafraid to be your disciples. We think of so many in this church and in our lives who have gone before us, braving the difficulties presented by life. And we can name them in our hearts before you, grateful for their example in this time of silent prayer. We also name in our hearts those people who are ill, who mourn, who feel lost and alone. Those are a part of cultures of oppression and indignity. Help us to be those people who, by our example, will break those chains of poverty and burst the doors that imprison their spirits. Be with this church that it may be a true witness to Jesus the Christ in all that we do. Amen. And now, remembering that God's family is our family, let us reach out in love and gratitude as we present our offerings for our community and for the world. Let us sing together our offertory response. Spirit, open my heart, from More Voices 79.
Spirit, open my heart to the joy.
Lord, bless these gifts that they may be used for ministries of compassion. Bless these people gathered here, bringing their gifts and their lives in service to you. For we offer ourselves and our gifts to you. Amen. And now as we prepare to go into the world, we'll sing Praise the Lord with the sound of trumpet from Voices United 245. May God's creative spirit be with you in your hearts and minds as we leave this place to return home. May God's creative spirit help you to see with new wonder the splendor of creation all around us and inspire you to preserve and protect it. And may God, the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and all of your days. Amen.